there are people going, oh, I don't like that dealer. They were just far too hands off. I want them to give me the, and you know, and with jewelry, jewelry and watches, the hands off approach, people want to be given a bit of the old sales magic. So I would say that all of our major dealers extant in 2024 in the UK, every single one I visited is not the Rowan Atkinson of Not the 9 o'clock News.
Hello and welcome to the AV Forum's Hi-Fi podcast for Monday the 7th of October. And on this edition, I'm joined by AV Forum's Hi-Fi editor, Ed Selly. Hello, Ed.
Hello, sir.
And from Peter Tyson, we have Danny Blake. Hi, Danny.
Hello. Happy to be here.
So this week, what are we talking about? Well, you won't be surprised to know that we are talking about hi-fi dealers. How do you demo? How do you buy? The tricks, the know-how. How do you go about approaching the whole buying of hi-fi nowadays? Is it all online? Are dealers now not relevant anymore, or are they more relevant than ever? We're going to get into that discussion a little bit later. And we're also going to talk about the Peter Tyson and AV Forum's Hi-Fi show. It's coming up in November in Newcastle. We're going to tell you all about that as well and tell you about some of the systems that you can come along and listen to. If you enjoy any of our content on this podcast or the other podcasts that we produce, then please do consider subscribing to the channel, liking the video, and also telling your friends. Tell them all about us. Send them links. Do the whole social media thing. Tell everybody about the AV Forums podcast. The more people we can reach and bring into this cult, the better. Did I say cult? Who are we? We're AV Forums, one of the largest AV and hi-fi communities on the internet. AV Forums was founded back in 2000. The editorial started in 2003. And for my sins, I am the editor, and I have been for 21 years now, counting. That's been a long time. Who am I? I'm Phil Hinson. Like I say, editor. I've been here for 20-odd years. I'm an enthusiast, experienced TV and AV reviewer, and I've been trained and certified by the ISF, THX, and PVA. Also on the podcast is Ed. Ed, tell us all about yourself.
Yes, I'm Ed Selly. I'm the Hi-Fi editor for AV Forums. I've been a member of the site for over 20 years. Not quite as long as Phil, but still painfully long time when I think about it. I have been producing content for the site since 2012. It was a broadening of what we did to move into two-channel. To begin with, I did some AV and multi-channel as well, but we now have talented operatives that do that instead of me and have their own podcast to talk about it. So I am exclusively two-channel these days. Unlike Phil, I'm not specifically employed by AV Forum. So if you see my name on other things, don't worry. That's supposed to be the case. I will generate content, broadly speaking, for a number of different publications. But AV Forums is a continuous and consistent part of what I do. Yes, it's about between 5 and 7 reviews a month and has been for an extremely long time. So there's a lot of content on there. So yes, that's what I do. The other thing that is something that for the first time we're recording this and we can see what happens on the YouTube thing. My ex-wife, as she now is, points out that I am actually no longer married. So I do need to update my profile at some point as well. So I'll get around to that. Maybe produce a photo that turned up.
I hope we're still keeping the serial killer photograph though.
No, all of the photos I look like a serial killer. I'll just look like an older serial killer. So it's fine. So that's all good.
Okay. So that's Ed. And joining us today is Danny from Peter Tyson. Danny, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hello. Mine is a quick introduction. I have spent my full working career here at Peter Tyson's, specifically at the Newcastle store, and I'm getting on for 12 years service now. So excellent. Yeah, been in sales for quite some time.
Okay, so the reason Danny's here is we've got a couple of things to talk about in this episode. We've been telling you how to buy your hi-fi and what to think about in terms of components and so on, but we haven't actually discussed the dealer side of thing in any great detail. So Danny's going to help us with that and hopefully give us some insight into dealerships in 2024 and how those work and so on. And you know, how do you demo kit these days? Is it difficult and so on? We're going to get into that in a little bit. But first of all, we're going to talk about the Peter Tyson and AV Forums Hi-Fi show. This is the second edition. We did one earlier in the year, Danny, and it was a big success.
It was, yeah. We welcomed just over 500 people to our store over that weekend. Nice. When you came down. So yeah, it was a huge success. We're very excellent. Happy with the turnout.
Excellent. So we're hoping to replicate that over 3 days this time. So it's going to run from the 1st of November to the 3rd of November at the Newcastle branch. So maybe tell people where the Newcastle branch is for those that don't know.
So we are based in Kingston Park, in the retail park, just opposite the airport trading estate. So very easy to get to, straight off the A1. Plenty of parking, so there's no worry about trying to find spaces. So yeah, it's a really great place to get to, park up, and
Yeah.
yeah.
Okay. So, and when you approach the dealership, you think, oh, how are we going to fit everybody in here? Because downstairs, it's just one small retail unit, isn't it?
It looks that way. It's not until you get upstairs in our store we've expanded above the other retail units that are below us. So it's a bit of a TARDIS. I mean, you've been here yourself. The shop must be three times the size upstairs, if not more.
Yeah, so it's a huge space. So the whole purpose of doing these shows, Danny, is and it's a subject we're going to come out onto as well, is actually being able to, in a non-sales pressured environment, actually listen to some pretty good kit. The first show we definitely based it more on aspirational and inspirational systems. You know, if you had £300,000 to spend on a hi-fi, what would it sound like and what would it look like? And we kind of answered that question for people in terms of some of the kit that was on demonstration that day. Slightly different this time around, give people an idea of where we're pitching it this time in terms of a show and what people can see.
So, for those of you that have been at the Newcastle store, we are, I suppose, quite well known for having some very prestigious hi-fi, which does come with some big price tickets. The last show that we done, we put it on with very little notice. So we worked with a lot of our favourite systems in the shop that did tend to be £100,000 or more. But the feedback that we got was that there was a lot of people that still want to come in and hear. Systems between your £1,200 and your £15,000. But the feedback that I had of chatting to the customers is not everyone wants to take up a salesman's time to and almost feel like they're wasting their time to start their journey into selecting a new hi-fi. As you know yourself, and I do too with choosing my own hi-fi, there's a lot to listen to. And I think sometimes it'd be quite daunting going into a store and asking for what is quite a bit of time to demo speakers, amplifiers, turntables. So the idea with this event is to open the doors again, and have a multitude of systems set up across the store. It may be a slightly lower price point. And yeah, people can come and have a look at what we would feel would be the best offerings at those various price points. So they can come in, no pressure at all. They can speak to the representatives from the brands. Chat to the reps, chat to us as sales. And yeah, a less pressured way of maybe starting your new hi-fi buying journey, if you like.
Yeah, and it's quite a mix of brands that we're going to have on the day. So maybe talk us through some of those brands that you're, again, we're in September at the moment, recording this for October, and the event's in November. So these things could change slightly
Yes.
over time. But generally, what do you have in your head in terms of potential systems that people could come and listen to?
So we're still settling the systems out, if you like. But mainly the brands that have given us support that will be sending representatives down will be Bowers & Wilkins, Marantz, Denon. We have Linn, Name, Focal, Macintosh, Sonos Faber. They're all here over the course of the Friday, the Saturday, and the Sunday to answer any questions that people might have and to help demonstrate systems. There'll be some product launches as well, which will be very exciting. There's quite a handful of product launches where the first will be the first. The weekend that these products get launched will be that weekend we have them at the store. But of course, there's plenty of other brands that we will have on the shop floor. All the major brands really.
Okay, nice. And this is always one that I test a dealer with. Can I bring my own stuff to listen to?
Of course, of course. Maybe not on that weekend. We're going to be a little bit busy, but of course, we welcome that. Ring us, book a demonstration in for one day through the week or weekend if we can fit it in. Obviously, that more than happy to do that. Just takes a little bit of time to manage that through, and we're got to book some time in the demo room. Make sure that we're not going to get interrupted, and we've got the time for the customers. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Excellent. So that is the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd of November. It's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Choose your day. Come along. You don't need to buy a ticket. You don't need to pay on the door. You don't even need to bring your credit card on this occasion. Although you'll probably need it after you come along and listen to some of these systems, I would imagine. But it's a no sales pressure, non-pressured event. It's to highlight the brands. It's to show off what you can do in 2024. And it's something that is definitely close to our heart's head is to get people in front of some of this kit that we're really lucky enough to review.
Yes, and the idea of doing this at price points which are more towards the terrestrial end of things, because there's always a tendency for specific manufacturers going to shows. It's a balancing act. Sometimes you do see extremely affordable systems, but generally speaking, it's a temptation to bring either the newest thing, or if you don't have a new thing, go big or go home. This often ends up with two problems. So you often end up with systems that are extremely expensive and probably overdriving the space that they're in. And it can just feel like walking around a supercar convention. It's all lovely and it's spectacular, but it has no real bearing on what you as a human being might elect to actually spend some money on. So this as a construct where we've got systems at different prices, ranging from what I would hope would count as, genuinely affordable through to aspirational but still not impossible, is a genuinely good thing. It nothing else. Even if you went along without the slightest idea or really interest in exactly what point you wanted to step off, you should hopefully be able to start getting some ideas at what point you think, do you know what? The law of diminishing returns has kicked in big time here, and I don't necessarily need to spend any more than this. Or you may find to your lasting despair that the more you listen, the better it gets. I can't save you from yourself. I mean, one of those things, one or both of those things may happen.
Yeah, there is a thread on the forums, and if you're watching us on YouTube at the moment, that will be on the right-hand side. You can see the news story. There is a thread attached to that. Go in there before the event. If you've got any suggestions for Danny or us guys that are going along there, so AV Forums will be there. I'll be there with the camera. I'll be looking for some interviews and that kind of thing with anybody that goes along to that. And we'll get your thoughts on the day and we'll make a video like we normally do. But if you've got any questions for any of us at AV Forums, but more importantly, if you've got anything for Danny and the lads at Peter Tyson in terms of what they're maybe going to show and maybe what you would like to see, and it's maybe something that they can do, or maybe it's just not doable, but at least if you can give them some suggestions in terms, it's maybe something that the guys haven't thought about and might actually be worth investigating and maybe putting something on. So there is a thread there. Go and give us your comments on there. Even if you can't make it along or whatever, or if you are coming, let us know that you're coming and so on. And we'll try and make sure that we get you in front of the camera and get your thoughts and stuff and get you in front of some of these systems. So that is the Peter Tyson AV Forums Newcastle audio show, 1st of November, 2nd of November, 3rd of November. Danny, what's the times?
We are open 9 till 5 on the Friday, 9 till 5 on the Saturday, and 10 till 4 on the Sunday.
Okay, there you go. Well, hopefully we'll see you all along there in November. And it's nice and easy to get to as well. As Danny said, just off the A1, it's right next door to Newcastle Airport. So you can fly in from most places in the UK. You can fly into Newcastle. Also on the East Coast Main Line, so you can get into Newcastle, then hop in a cab or on a bus over to Kingston Park. It's not that far away. So it's nice and easy to reach. So hopefully we'll see lots of you there. So let's just stay where we are in terms of going to a dealer these days and your buying journey, as it were. Now, Danny, you said you're more than happy, and I know you guys are, you're more than happy to give people demonstrations. There's usually time during the week. You have, I think it's four demo spaces, is it? Am I
Yeah,
correct?
we have four rooms, but there's
Yep.
also gallery spaces and things like that would
Yeah.
give you a taste there. And if you want to take it more seriously, we can put things in a dedicated demo room.
Yeah. So, this is the great thing about dealers like Peter Tyson, and there's other dealers throughout the UK that have very similar facilities. Danny, how many people turn up, have the demo, and then go and buy the stuff online and cut you guys out?
I don't see it that much in store. I
Okay.
think people do genuinely like the service that we offer in store, from what I've seen for the last 12 years. And I think you can form quite a relationship, especially if the customer's trusted your advice and you've maybe taken them down a different path to what they maybe thought they wanted in the first place. I think we do tend to see that they will come through and buy. from the store. Alternatively, some people that have bought systems off the website will then come into the store after their purchase to say, "Oh, I was so happy with it." And I googled around and I seen you maybe had a store in Newcastle or Carlisle or Workington, and I thought I'd come and check out the store. And then they become regulars to events such as this that we're doing in November.
Yeah, and of course you're not just bricks and mortar, Peter Tyson. You are a huge going concern when it comes to the online side of things,
Yes.
which is maybe where the vast majority of people know the name Peter Tyson is through the website and through the online store that you guys have. So it seems to be a problem that was prevalent a long time ago, Ed, but maybe I think, as Danny says, and as Danny rightly says, it's about creating relationships. It's about giving good advice, having nice facilities, being able to show the product that actually hooks that person in to buy then from the dealer.
Yes, I think we've reached a level of maturity with online sales now, both as a society and in terms of what is and isn't considered to be technically possible. There was a point where essentially, things were being purchased online where it wasn't an ideal fit for the thing to be sold online in the first place. I mean, there are certain bits of equipment, turntables and the like, especially where a zero contact sale, and then it turns up and it's a fairly complicated thing to assemble, especially if you've never done it before. It just wasn't a particularly sound fit. I do, this is not me necessarily just blowing smoke up the person's arse who's on the podcast, but Tyson's has always actually struck, has been doing online sales for a very, very long time. They are fairly experienced in the art of the possible. They work with their available people, available manufacturers, to work out what is an ideal fit to be sold online, and what where they to say quite legitimately, you need to come into the store and actually get hands on with this. And by and large, I mean, don't get me wrong, there are a selection of people who, they do not want a face-to-face experience. They are absolutely dead set on what they want, and they would ideally want to purchase absolutely everything sight unseen. And you aren't going to see those people in store. That's the killer thing. I don't think, crucially, those people are going to go into a shop, kick tires, and then disappear off and order it from somewhere else. They are exclusively online in what they do. For the most part, Danny's, I think I agree entirely with Danny. When you get to a certain price point, especially, you want to see and interact with this thing. I mean, the sound quality bit is almost secondary to how large actually is it? What does that color actually do when I clap eyes on it for real rather than on a screen? And just things that fundamentally ease the angst that comes with spending often thousands and thousands of pounds. I mean, when we're dealing with items like the televisions, I'm constantly in admiration, Phil, for the amount of different ways you get to describe a big black rectangle. You really do actually put some effort into that, but they are, broadly speaking, big black rectangles with limited amounts of additional decor. Speakers are going to be a large and very physical manifestation of furniture in your room. It doesn't matter with some cases just how decent they sound. If you, and I don't want to go down cliches, but other people in the house look at them and go, no, it doesn't really matter how good they sound or not. And this is where both this show and wandering around a well-stocked, well-specified dealer will often save you an enormous amount of money and an enormous amount of heartache, because you will look at the product and know that's going to look right in my space and that's not. And then once you've done all of those not inconsequential hurdles, you can crack on with listening to it as well. So it's a win-win. But equally, if you've, for the sake of argument, been buying Blue Sound bits and you've read the review of the Node Nano, or you're looking at some of the other bits of Blue Sound equipment being announced at the moment, no one's going to judge you particularly harshly for going, well, I've used that, it's excellent, I'm going to add to my Blue Sound collection. And, I don't need to go into a shop to do that. I'm just going to buy it. It's going to turn up. It's going to join the network and do absolutely everything I expect it to. We have finally, in 2024, I feel, reached a balance where we're doing most of the things at about the level that they should be sensibly done.
And it's one of these things as well, Danny, because you're going to have, as we've already alluded to, different price points, different levels of the market. When it comes to that aspect, should people be put off coming into a dealer if they've only got a budget of 200 quid for an amplifier? Do they still come into a dealer? Can a dealer still help them at that point, or?
Yeah, I think we would still welcome that, of course. We might not have that particular model out on display, but I'm always happy to offer advice at whatever price point. You know, if it helps people feel confident with their purchase, it's something we offer, even if it is an online purchase. I'm still more than happy to chat through the options. We've got more than enough staff here to help people out, give the right advice. As it might be, if someone is maybe at that level, it's a starting point in their journey. And you never know, they might come in, something might catch their eye. Oh, okay, I was thinking that I needed a £200 amplifier, but after chatting to them, you know, you might find that you've steered them in a different direction. It might be that an active speaker suits that customer, or you know, something else. So
Well,
no, we would still welcome that.
the other aspect of it, of course, is that for Danny, for other salespeople across the UK, and then, obviously we see it all the time. You may think that you need, for example, you've broken your hypothetical budget up over a set number of components. Whereas actually, there's a number of affordable amplifiers which will head off any requirement for source equipment as well. So you might be artificially shrinking your budget down to a certain point for an amplifier, whereas in reality, something which has got streaming on board to which you just attach speakers to, which frees up a bit more budget in that regard, is going to work perfectly for you. And this is an element of not being able to see the wood for the trees. This is where dealers genuinely come into their own at multiple price points. You may have it in your head that you need products X, Y, and Z. What you actually need is products R, S, and Z, and so on and so forth, because what you'll end up with is doing what you need it to do. Your budget has been allocated differently and more efficiently, and you are essentially getting more bang for your buck. And this is where there's no substitute for the experience that retailers offer you.
Ed, do you think we're past the age of the hi-fi dealer? And I'm talking from our generation here. A certain sketch that was on
Yes,
a
that's
very
left a very, very long shadow, hasn't it?
hasn't it?
For the most part, there is a genuine, people are welcome to disagree with me vigorously in the comments about this, but there is something about the UK national psyche. God, I'm waving a pen. Is that actually there's a small subset of people, and it's not simply people our age or older. It's that where they don't actually feel that they're buying. It's not an authentic, expensive purchasing experience unless they're being very slightly patronized whilst they do it. And I thought this had died out, but it hasn't. There are people going, "Oh, I don't like that dealer. They were just far too hands off. I want them to give me the," and with jewelry and watches, the hands off approach. People want to be given a bit of the old sales magic. So I would say that all of our major dealers extant in 2024 in the UK, every single one I visited is not the Rowan Atkinson of Not the 9 o'clock News sketch. A famous Geordie, of course. But ultimately, where I suppose there's still friction, and I do believe, and I don't believe that this is that common, but it still exists. If you arrive at a dealer having spent a couple of weeks on the internet looking at the subject matter in hand, you will be well versed in what you do. But please, please, please don't go in a sort of combative sense going, "I now know more than you," because with the best will in the world, you probably don't. The dealer is likely to have a suggestion that may be outside what you've been researching, and to dismiss it out of hand, you're free to do that, but it's A, likely to make some of the interactions perhaps more awkward than they need to be, and you could be missing out on something genuinely worth doing. So, essentially, the internet has made us all experts in everything, not just hi-fi. We're experts in everything now. Obviously that unfortunate submersible implosion. I mean, some of the stuff that was going on in the wake of that. People who had suddenly become considerable experts on diving to the Titanic wreck. Broadly speaking, we can't help ourselves, and that is possibly our new point of friction in the retail arrangement for anything. But no, modern dealers are well aware of what actual customer service is. They are friendly, they are approachable. We have got hi-fi dealers in the UK that sell some of the most expensive systems in Europe. And I have to be honest, some of the people that do that are amongst the most down-to-earth, considered, and friendly human beings I have the privilege of spending any time with. There is no elitism to what they do.
I think, and again, I was asking that through personal experience, before I did this as a living 20 years ago, I used to frequent a lot of hi-fi dealerships and that kind of thing, and I was friends with quite a few. But I've had experiences where I've walked into dealerships that I've never been to before and instantly been looked up and down and then ignored. And I've had that happen to me a couple of times walking into places because I'm usually dressed in a t-shirt and a pair of jeans. The flip of that is that I once went to see a very expensive home installation, custom installation. I'm not going to get into any details, but this was well in excess of $500,000 in terms of the spend on the thing. And when I met the owner, I thought he was one of the trades guys because he was covered in whatever it was that they'd been caulking round windows or whatever, and he was covered in it. And he came across and shook my hand, and I was like, "Oh, I own the place, really?" And again, that was me doing exactly that had happened to me when I walked into a dealership. So thankfully those things have never happened in a long time now. I think the last time it happened to me was walking into an Audi dealership, and the first thing the guy said to me was, "Can you afford this, sir?" It's like, "Yes, but I'm not buying it from here. Bye." And everybody's got their horror stories like that. So you're going to reassure us, aren't you, Danny, that things are just not like that anymore, are they?
No, definitely not. And it should be an enjoyable experience. At the end of the day, you're not buying a fridge freezer. You're not buying windows and doors for your house where it is just, all right, okay, how much is it? When can it be installed? What color am I going to choose? You are buying a piece of entertainment, it should be an enjoyable experience regardless of your budget. And you should be able to come to the shop and hear the system that you're inquiring about, and yeah, for a laugh, if there is a big expensive system set, we're more than happy to give someone a laugh, give someone a chuckle over an aspirational system. But yeah, ultimately, it needs to be fun, and I suppose that's where my job is easy in some degrees, because ultimately, if someone can hear the difference, and they have the means of making that next step to the more expensive amplifier, the better set of speakers, then ultimately they're going to make the decision whether they can do that. And I get to spend my day listening to music with the customer, and yeah, it should be happy, it should be enjoyable, and they should walk away with a smile on the face. They shouldn't walk away and sort of like you have in the past been made to feel that inferior or whatever that may be.
It's not a nice experience. It's nice to know that's long gone these days. And I guess it's taken a while for that to happen because I think it used to be a huge number of bricks and mortar, Ed. And I think as time has gone on, that's kind of filtered out in terms of what areas can sustain businesses like that. And then at the same time, those that are good at what they do, like Tyson's, who've been around since 1966, they tend to stick around.
These all of these retail points, not just for audio, for so many luxury goods, they are self-selecting. You are not obligated to use them. So if they wish to continue to exist, they have to make it worth you using them. And for the most part, this is something that a number of organizations in both hi-fi and other things have adapted to effortlessly. But people who were muddling through on you using them because you had to, this is going to be a rude culture shock. This is but that that's no great loss to both the industry and your purchasing choices. There is one thing I'm going to add, because I think this is an important it's important in the context of buying a piece of hi-fi equipment. If your budget is X, obviously allow a contingency, but if you wish to make your purchasing experience genuinely rewarding, as Danny says, he's perfectly happy to give you a quick blast of something which costs significantly more than that. The only catch with that is that in terms of you leaving the shop happy, don't get invested in something which you have no chance of actually walking out the shop with, because all it's going to do is lead to a lingering sense of disappointment that what you've bought actually isn't good enough. And that's not how it should be.
No.
In the same way that when you go to a car dealer, you can sit in whatever the top of the range thing is and press the buttons and things like that. But they're not, there's no equivalent to being let loose on the public roads at 10 tenths and you're going, well, do you know what? I'm going to miss 500 horsepower. A hi-fi demonstration allows you to take something quite close to what it's notionally capable of. And if you do that and then step back down to actually spending what you have to spend, that's going to probably end up leading to a level of disenchantment, which is nobody's fault. By all means, tinker with the stuff beyond and the stuff that's in there and stuff that you aren't going to necessarily see again, but don't let it corrupt your mind as to what it should be, because there's nothing the dealer can do about the fact that it costs substantially more than the budget that you've come in with.
I've watched
this happen in real time.
And it does happen. But again, in the same respect, maybe Daniel will correct me on it, but in the same respect, it gives you that aspirational point, that inspirational point that, you know, one day I'm going to come in here and I'm going to drop Bitcoin on what I actually want. But in the meantime, I want something that gets me close to that, gets me a little bit further up the line. And I think this is one thing that you guys do. I know there's dealers, and we're talking about Tysons because Danny's on here, but we know that there's dealers all over the UK. They all do fantastic jobs. They're all, you know, staffed by people like Danny who really are enthusiasts and who really are invested in this area of the market and really can give good advice. I guess, Danny, how do you temper expectations? How do you manage expectations when it comes to the client's budget, which they will tell you? And then how do you get, you know, how do you then fit that to a product that you know is going to get very close to where they want to be?
Yeah, so in some cases, it can be quite a long sales process. For instance, just this one, just before this podcast, had a lovely couple come in and they wanted a turntable to go along with their wireless Hi-Fi system. So we chatted through the options and they looked around the store and said, oh, you know, this is quite a nice system. What is that? That's an amplifier. Do people still use them? Yes, they do. Not everything has gone wireless. So I put a record on and the system happened to be, I don't know, 4 or 5 times more than what the entry level wireless turntable was they were looking at. And they were blown away by the sound of it. So one thing led to another. We went upstairs and we showed them quite a significantly more expensive system what they maybe inquired about in the first place. But fortunately for everyone, it wasn't out of their means. They just were maybe when educated on the price of things, what was out there in the market. And I think it's important to show people what there is to offer, because a lot of people might think in your head, if you've done DIY projects, you might think, oh, yep, the new bathroom is going to cost X and then it costs Y. And you have to readjust your budget because you've been introduced to, some nice chrome taps that are double what you thought they might spend or whatever it may be. And I think it can be like that in hi-fi as well. But I think especially the hi-fi show, for instance, that we've done earlier in the year, a lot of the stuff was high-end. But I still had people come back and say, oh, we heard that system that cost £100,000. I've never been able to get it out of my head. And they come back in almost excited to say, right, come on, how close can I get to that for X? And I feel it enthuses people to think about the hi-fi again and to maybe push for that next upgrade to get one step closer to that ultimate system that they have in their head.
Definitely.
Yeah. And Ed, I think there's two levels here, maybe three levels, I don't know, but there's certainly, like you said, the educated, they kind of know what they want and how they're going to do it and so on. And then, like Danny's just suggested, there's somebody who's come in who's maybe not upgraded their hi-fi in a number of years, maybe hasn't been keeping up to date with what's what, maybe not a regular on AV forums or other websites and so on. So There is these definite two camps, and I think sometimes, even though you have people who know what they want or people that don't know what they want, sometimes they'll end up at the same point.
Yes.
Just because, you know, they can go into a dealership and actually see the products, hear the products, feel the products. And I think what's become more important, certainly this year and certainly since COVID, is the aesthetic. You know, what is this going to look like in my home? And is it something that I want to have on display? Is it something that looks beautiful but also sounds amazing as well? And I think that's a big point these days.
Yes, there's as you say, there's a number of variables. Another weird facet of this, and this is where you and I are periodically part of the problem and Danny's part of the solution. We are entirely focused on new things. We review new things because they've turned up. They are the newsworthy items. If you are fresh into this, you can find yourself assembling hypothetical things that you want to listen to based on reviews that have been on AV forums and elsewhere in the last 6, 12, 18 months. What will then frequently happen is actually if you go to a dealer that knows their onions, they'll go, actually, have you listened to this? It's a little bit older. And then, let's be honest, hi-fi equipment can enjoy very, very long lifespans indeed. So they'll go, actually, this came out 4 years ago. You won't have seen a review on it because it's 4 years old. But it could be exactly what you need. And that's where an actual experience of the things that are still on and present is vital. That's actually something beyond what you or I do. I've got new things hammering through the door on a weekly basis. I can make reference to stuff I've tested in previous history, but it's always done in the past tense. Someone made a legitimate comment on the Ellipson review I did recently. Well, you know, you didn't have a pair of the originals to actually compare the new ones to. Well, no, unfortunately, I live in a house, not a warehouse. It's not possible to retain all of, you know, the outgoing example or just the older model. What Danny's got is actual up-to-date product ranges, but up-to-date product ranges are not the same as what's been reviewed in the last X months. So you might go in thinking that you need X. What you actually need is something that came out sometime prior in the whole review window, launch window pattern thing, and that's going to do you absolutely perfectly. And that is an in-store experience that can't easily be replicated online. Even though, I mean, I had a look at the Tyson's website because I'm diligent. You've got the system where it's like, if you look at product X, it's like you may also be interested in.
Yes.
But you won't, it's still not the same as Danny saying to you, actually, yeah, you might be interested in these, but have you looked at this? It's been around for a little while, but that's because it's extremely good. To really get the best out of an in-store visit, it is an element of abandoning some, not all, but some preconceived ideas about what you might need, because the answer could be significantly different to what you thought it was going to be. And if you're willing to let that process ride, you could end up with something that's genuinely excellent.
I don't know what Danny's reaction is going to be to this one, but also, don't expect to go in and buy on your first visit, because I think that's what people expect. I think people think, if I'm going in here and I'm going to demonstrate this bit of kit or whatever, I need to be leaving with something. So I'm not going to commit to going for a demo because I'm going to have to buy something. That's not the case. And I'm hoping Danny's going to agree with me on this one, because I think, you know, a good dealer will take the time to spend with you and try and point out what your potential products are that will fit what you're looking for. And a good dealer will not push you or pressure you to make a sale straight away, because a good dealer will understand that if you can show that person what it is that they're looking for, demonstrate it, and then give them a bit of space and time to think about it and consider it and so on. And if they're a really good dealer, and I don't know if Danny does this or not, but I've certainly experienced this in the past and ended up buying and spending quite a bit of money with dealers in the past, it may be a case of, you know what, try this in your system. Take it home, try it in your system, and then bring it back and see what you think. Or if you like it, phone us up and pay for it. Dealers are not there to give you, and if they have anything about them, they're not there to give you the hard sales push, you're going to buy something today because you're in my space and you're costing me time. A good dealer's not like that. A good dealer should, you know, be encouraging you, but also educating you and giving you options. Am I right, Danny?
Yes, 100%. And just quickly before I go on to that, just to touch on Ed's point before that, yes, typically a lot of products have a shelf life of 4 to 7 years. So it was a very good point that he raised, is that, yes, there might be something that is 5 years old that we have in the shop that has flown under the radar on your potential, you know, research. And, of course, end-of-life products. Sometimes we might just have a couple of models left of a model that has just gone, and you can get some, you know, significant discounts on that because it's finished. Mm. Doesn't mean to say it's bad. It's just the end of that line of products. But no, in terms of we're not a car showroom. We're not going to ask, you know, what's it going to take to get the sale over the line today. Not at all. Quite often people will come in and have a listen, and like you said, you might have taken them down a very different path, like what I just mentioned before with that couple that was installed just this morning. But no, we can send you an email and say, right, you came in and wanted to listen to X, and we've ended up 45 minutes later listening to Y. We can follow it up, let you know on what that might look like in pounds and pence to the customer on an email, give them a quote, they can mull it over, maybe take some measurements home. Like we were saying before, hi-fi is becoming a very important part of furniture in the house, especially speakers these days. They can be quite big and quite an important feature in the house. So you might come in and think, oh, I like the look of them. I need to go and, you know, envision them in the lounge with your significant other on an evening and say, yeah, is this the right move for us? Well, I've got the quote off Danny. This is what he said it's going to cost. I think I can make them work in this room. And they might come back a week or so later and discuss the sale further and say, right, well, if I'm going to spend this much, what else is there to look at as well?
Yeah, it's something certainly before, you know, I was lucky enough to get Kit in for review and all the rest of it, when I was out buying it and so on, it was important to me that I had a good relationship with my dealer. And I had, there was two or three in Newcastle who I was very on good terms with and could go in and borrow Kit and, you know, will this work for me or whatnot. And if you are prepared to build that relationship with people, whether it's Danny, whether it's other dealers across the UK, you'll find that, you know, at the end of the day, they just want you to have the right kit. If they're any good as a dealer, they'll want you to have what it is that you're looking for, and they will help you get to that point. I mean, there was a few times that, you know, maybe six or seven times I'd go to the dealer and listen to things and have a cup of tea and mull it over and so on. But at the end of that process, I would always go in and choose a product, buy a product or whatever. It would always result in a sale at some point. Ed, what was your journey like before you started doing this professionally?
It was split between PJ Hi-Fi in Guildford, who still exists, and Richard Sounds to begin with. That's prior to me actually working in retail. Once I started working in retail, Danny may or may not relate to this, it becomes an interesting, sometimes some fascinating trading to turn off. It's like, I've never tried one of those, I'm going to give it a bloody go. And other times it was, as you say, the business when certain things are discontinued can often result in some quite spectacular manufacturer bargains I found in historically. But yes, between those two, my early systems predominated with Arcam, Marantz, Cambridge Audio got a look in. And essentially it became, yeah, those very early those very early sort of sections did formulate that I had, there was a particular signature that I was looking for in house system sound. There still is. There were certain brands that were better at achieving it. I knew it shaped both of those organizations quite effortlessly shaped elements of what I would still be looking for in my, you know, my personal audio equipment to this day. I'm not particularly interested in valves. I'm not particularly interested. I will quite happily trade off vast sound stages for something which just goes like the clappers and so on and so forth. So, you know, even from a relatively early low budget sort of point in this, you're able to just get a handle on what works for you. And as that evolves, as you know what you like, it becomes easier to explain to your retailer what you're actually shooting for. But as Danny says, even when you know that, if you spend 10 years out, you know, you buy a system that you are genuinely delighted with and it runs faultlessly for 10 years, even if you know what you like, the world will have changed but when you step back in. So you may still know the sound that you're looking for, but it may be that the brands that produce that sound are not the same as they were when you last purchased something. Interesting case in point, I suppose, the classic example for me over this, I mean, it may be over more than 10 years, but if you take the journey that Name has been on since the late 80s through to now, the systems are unrecognizably different. They still have certain things in common. They've still managed to retain fanatical loyalty, but they are not the same thing. And if you genuinely after the old Name sound, which was just basically like wearing a giant pair of headphones, there are now companies out there probably better placed than Name to generate that sort of presentation for you. And your dealer, who has been involved in this process whilst you were out enjoying your system, will be in a position to get you hooked up with where you need to be with modern equipment.
Cool. So I think we've almost reached the end of the podcast and where we need to be with this subject. But Danny, you're at the, you're there, you're dealing with customers on a daily basis and so on. What's the trends at the minute? What are people actually coming in and buying? Because we see what the manufacturers want us to think in terms of when they send their kit in for review and they give us the blurb about, how this will change your life because of the XYZ and all the rest of it. But actually, at the coal face, dealing with the actual customers and so on, what is it that people want and what are they buying?
Streaming is still a big part of our lives here. Educating people that streaming isn't from an iPod via Bluetooth. It's a high resolution format that is widely recognized in the industry as one of the best ways to get your music from source to ears, essentially. So yeah, educating people on streaming. Vinyls come back big time. I've found that we're guiding people more and more through vinyl-only systems, actually. There's a lot of
Crikey.
people coming in and
They must be
buying.
minted. It's not it's not the hardware, it's buying the bloody
By the
records.
way, yeah, it's not cheap. It's not cheap.
No.
So yeah, which has been nice actually. I really like that process. That's been a really nice. It's nice to work with people that are wanting vinyl-only systems. A little bit different, especially when day to day, a lot of my life is streaming. So it's nice when you do get those customers in. And yeah, that's pretty much it. A lot of people now, especially, I hear this time and time again. My kids have just went off to university. I'm just about to retire. I bought a system when I left university or college 25 years ago, and I'm looking to upgrade it. And they might have an old Lin LP12 that hasn't been touched in 20 years. They might have inherited their father's old system. And basically talking people through, like Ed was mentioning, okay, that was the system 20 years ago, but crikey, it hasn't half changed. And guiding people to a new system, a new sound that they want to fall in love with and like. A brand that they will fall in love with and enjoy. And yeah, that's the process these days.
Excellent. Right. We're going to wrap up as we always do with we've talked about systems and stuff. You should be itching to go along to your dealer and you know what your journey is going to be this year because we've discussed most of the points that you should be thinking about when it comes to choosing amplifiers, integrated, separates, all that kind of thing. Should buy all month. We've covered most of it this year, and we've covered speakers and so on as well. So let's talk about what we actually listen to. Ed's going to give us his album vinyl and playlist of the month. Over to you, Ed.
Yes, it's still not been a great year, but we actually had since the last podcast, there has been some decent things. So it's album and vinyl are split, not least because the album, to the best of my knowledge, is not available on vinyl. It's actually quite a challenge to find it on physical media. But the magnificently named Purple Disco Machine, German bloke, he's been churning out stuff for some years now. But there's a full album came out on Friday called Paradise. It kind of does what it says on the tin, really. It's got a sort of sparkly, glitter ball vibe to it, but it's got some bloody good tunes on it as well. I've thoroughly enjoyed listening to that. Other people have also remarked that they've enjoyed it as well. It's on all the major streaming services. You can apparently buy it on CD on Amazon if the fancy takes you. Vinyl, well, London Grammar came out with an album. Is it their best album? No. Is it still pretty good? Yes. Is it likely to be on? And I have to say likely because I haven't yet taken delivery of my vinyl copy. Is it likely to be a decent pressing? Also, yes. With the exception of the second album, which was a bit of a mess sonically on vinyl, the others have been extremely good. So, The Greatest Love is available, and there's about 38 different permutations of vinyl that you can buy on the London Grammar website, depending on how much signed garbage you want with it. I'd go for a black one with just one signed item for a relatively sensible sum of money if I were you, but it's you're free to do as you see fit. The biggest problem that the album has is that it simply cannot get any better than its opening track. It's a mistake to have put that track that, I mean, obviously on the vinyl, it's great because it's on the outside edge where it needs to be. But nothing touches the opening track, My House. The rest of the album is good, but that is the transcendent track on the album. But it's going to be good to listen to. It's going to be enjoyable. I'm continuing to plow my furrow of playlists, which will attract some comment, both positive and otherwise. Tidal this time has a playlist called Future Proof, which takes the world of electronic music and looks at the various angles that the cutting edge is coming from. This is another one of those playlists where I would be genuinely astonished if you liked all the tracks on it. I don't. But where the tracks that you do like on it, they're normally introducing you to artists that you're probably going to be unfamiliar with. It should be unlocking new doors, taking you in new directions, and making you aware of people that you weren't necessarily aware of prior to this point. And that's really, for me, what most of these playlists should be about. It's not necessarily the playlist for the sake of the playlist. It is a way of accessing new content and going in new directions.
Jumping off points. Absolutely. That's how you find new and interesting things. Danny, I'm going to put you on the spot, but you want to give us some suggestions of what we could be listening to?
That is a very good one. I've been listening to a lot of Max Cooper recently.
Mm-hmm.
Some great demo tracks that I've been using. What else have I had? Fleetwood Mac, the Rumours album, but the Super Deluxe version.
Have you heard the thing that came out on Friday?
I haven't.
Second.
No.
Let me bring that up. He says optimistically. Yeah, the Mirage Tour 82 live.
I haven't, no.
It's great. I mean, all live music is, it obviously it's fantastic for hi-fi purposes. Mm. It can the system get you close to what the event was, but that's a cracking live performance. I mean, obviously it's sizzling with the standard levels of hatred they have for one another, but it's a damn good listen. So would recommend that.
Brilliant, yeah. So yeah, that's what I've been on with. Yeah.
Excellent. Good stuff. Right. So just to recap, the Hi-Fi show is happening. Newcastle, 1st, 2nd, 3rd of November. Come and join us. It's Peter Tyson in association with AV Forums. Get yourselves along there. It's going to be a great weekend. The thread is now live on the forums. Go and give us your suggestions there as to what you'd like to listen to, what you think is going to happen on the weekend. And then obviously tell us what happens on the weekend. You know, did you pop along? What did you see? What did you hear? What did you like? All that kind of thing. It's really important to us to get that feedback as well. And, you know, Danny, we'd love to hear your feedback as well. And of course, any suggestions, you know, maybe the guys haven't thought of it. Maybe it's something that a lot of you would actually like to see or hear. Then drop it in the comment section as well. And if you are watching us on YouTube, don't forget you do have the comment section underneath the video. Also add your comments in there. We do read them. We do take, even if we don't answer all of them because we don't have time, we do read them. We do take on board what you guys are saying. So please do give us that feedback. But that's it for this week. My thanks to Ed and Danny. Thanks very much, guys.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Our next episode is the TV Display and Calibration Edition. That is on Monday, the 14th of October. And don't forget, most Mondays, unless it's a month with 5 Mondays in, there will be a podcast, 7 p.m. on the AV Forums podcast YouTube channel or via your podcast provider and an audio-only version. So that's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all that kind of thing. We should be across all of them. You should be able to find us quite easy. If you have enjoyed the podcast, then, of course, obviously give it a like, subscribe, all the cliched social media stuff, do all of that. And if you really do like what we're doing, you know, tell your friends, get up on social media, get up on other forums and so on, tell everybody about us. The more victims we can have in our little cult here, the better. And of course, if you want to buy us a coffee, you can buymeacoffee.com/AV Forums. And before we say goodbye, we do have the competitions to go through, and of course new supporters, and you guys are always the important guys. You're the ones that keep us going with your contributions and so on. But first of all, hardware competitions. Ed, what can we win?
You can win £500 to spend with MPB, the largest global platform to buy, sell and trade in used photo and video gear. That's open till midnight on Thursday, the 24th of October. You can also win an LG Cinebeam Q projector worth £1,000. It's a compact and portable 4K projector with wireless connectivity for streaming, movie watching and gaming wherever you want. Closing date for that is midnight on Tuesday, the 15th of October. Both of those competitions are open to eligible AV Forums members over 18 who are residents of the UK. This is inclusive of the Isle of Man. So head over to avforums.com/competitions to enter. There is also, don't forget, Phil, don't head me off this, there's also a range of DVDs, Blu-rays and 4K discs available for patrons and standard AV Forums members to win. Some of them are absolute garbage, but there are some genuinely good things to win there. Just enter them all. I mean, don't forget, Christmas is coming. Even if you were an absolute stinker, you can simply pass it on as a gift to someone.
Again, so, that's Ed's opinion. That's not AV Forum's opinion.
No. As I stated right at the beginning, I am not an employee of AV Forums. I'm willing to state that not all prizes are created equal in this land.
The hardware stuff is great. So thanks to that's brilliant. And obviously LG, some cracking prizes there. Get yourselves in for that. Previous winners, Ed.
Yes, JJ Bomber won a single Oslo Home Cinema seating chair, black, worth £1,400. I'm imagining that they're sitting in it as we speak. Cool. Red Devil 69 won £500 to spend with MPB. So well done to you. I hope you've spent it wisely. We have new patrons in the form of Bruce Wood, Nick and Richard Saunders. And Repo Man 666 bought us a coffee, which he does an awful lot. So thank you all very, very much for that.
He is the coffee provider.
Yeah,
absolutely. Thank you guys for your support. It really is appreciated. And like we keep saying, one of these days, if you keep supporting us and you keep helping us along, we might actually make a good podcast one of these days. But anyway, that's it for this week. I'm Phil Hinton. Thank you very much for watching and listening, and we'll see you in the next one. Goodbye.